If there's a problem in Ypsilanti, I guarantee you there are caring people working on it each and every day, trying to make our community better. And we really are so proud to be the media partner for this project with Concentrate Media, because that's the whole goal here. We're not ignoring the issues in the community, but they've got an embedded reporter out here every day in Ypsilanti and Ypsilanti Township, doing her part to find the hidden story so that they can get a voice. And that's what we're really about here at WEMU, is giving a voice to the people that don't normally get a day in the press or don't get coverage out there in the quote-unquote real media. So welcome. I just said you're not part of real media, Sarah. I'm so sorry. You're more real than any media person I know.
I'm the realist.
All right. And Sarah's real because real because you see her at all these community meetings and all these community events and all these community associations, and everywhere there's a gathering of, you know, three people trying to do better for Ypsilanti, the odds are you might see Sarah Rick there, the project manager for this.
That's correct.
And we can find you Concentrate A2 on Twitter.
Right.
Concentrate Media everywhere else on social media, concentratemedia.com, and that is where we'll find the story that you worked on for this week, which is...
I'm writing about Buenos Vecinos, okay, which translates to good neighbors. It's a program that grew out of a Latino health survey, and now it reaches Latino families in our area through the youth, focuses on health broadly, but including mental health as well as physical health.
Great. And this was a county survey, I'm assuming. Washtenaw County Health Department did something
right
a couple years ago about it. What was the timing on that? Do you remember? Do you know? I can ask other people.
I think Charo could probably speak to the timing.
All right, so Charo, yes, we've met you before, but who else do you have with you today?
Yep, I have Charo Ladon, who is the founder of Buenos Vecinos. I have Liz Sermon, who is on the leadership board for Buenos Vecinos, but is also a teacher at Ipsy Community High School. And I have Diana Bernal Canseco, who is the catalyst coordinator, I believe, for Buenos Vecinos.
Okay, so Charo, why don't you have a seat here? We'll kick Sarah out for a second. Charles sitting on my right on your radio dial, in case you were interested. Good morning. Hey, that was a nice little tap dance I did there.
Good morning.
So, give me the bare bones basics of how this started and why it started.
Well, it started with a Latino health survey, okay, that the Washtenaw County Health Department wanted to do because there was no data on Latinos, and we did that in 2014. And then the group of people that worked on that, once the survey was finished, we continued to meet and continued to talk about the issues that were brought up in the survey.
So just out of curiosity, do you happen to know population-wise, like what kind of numbers are we talking about for the community and where they're primarily located?
I believe it was around 14,000, okay, back in 2014. It's probably different by now. There's Latinos all over the county.
Okay.
In Ypsilanti, Ypsilanti Township, Ann Arbor, even some in farms near Manchester and Dexter.
And what did the survey identify as some of the problems or issues that existed in this community, especially related to health?
We prioritized 10,
okay,
issues. I don't think I can rattle them off.
No, but give me a general overview. That's fine.
Lack of dental and vision care, the need for more involvement in parents and children's education, healthy nutrition, more exercise, the need to learn English.
So probably common issues that you'd find in any underserved Latino community throughout our country, really.
Pretty much, yeah.
And they probably cross over quite clearly or parallel-wise with people living under a certain income level, too.
That's right.
Both parents working in the home, not as much time with the children, not as much money to focus on health care issues, barriers to entry in schools and other things like that because of educational issues, language issues. Yeah, so common things, but it sounds like before 2014, nobody really had a close eye specifically on the Latino community within Washtenaw County. So this is an effort that's grown out of that. When did the organization Buenos Vecinos actually become a part of our community?
Well, it was right after,
okay,
the survey was finished, and we just kept going.
Okay.
And then Liz, the ESL teacher, mm-hmm. who's here today, asked us to come and talk to the students there because they're, for the most part, newly arrived and needing more support. So we started going to the school and just talking to them and seeing what they needed. And they were actually thrilled that we actually wanted to hear what they wanted to say.
And Liz, that brings up a good point. You know, you're on the ground with these kids. You've been in the, how long have you been a part of the school district?
I'm just finishing my 14th year.
Okay, so this is not a new issue that's cropping up, but it sounded like you were excited to see that there's focus being paid on something you probably knew already existed.
Definitely. I've worked with the families in this community for 14 years now, and I've seen a lot of the kids come up through kindergarten and even before, so I've known the families long term. They tend to stay in the area, which is wonderful because we have that continuity with them. But it was a lot for one person or two people to take on in terms of meeting everybody's needs. And obviously, that is going to be impossible.
And prior to Buenos Vecinos becoming, mm-hmm. you know, getting hooked up with you, I would assume that the options for what you could do, the breadth and width of it, were fairly small. That, you know, give me an idea about how much now, I mean, if there were, you know, five or six things you could do before, I mean, is that expanding as this program gets a greater foothold within the community?
Well, definitely. I mean, I was in the classroom and teaching daily and working with the kids and outreach to the families in terms of education and how the kids were doing and were they in school and things like that, a lot of truancy issues or progress toward graduation. But now it's been able to be expanded to more tutoring, support for the kids in their academics. It's a lot easier for them to graduate because there are more hands helping out, and also more experiences for them. I've been able to have people help me plan.
And is this expanding outward into their homes too, where you're offering opportunities for parents or others that might want to take on classes to better, you know, in their language skills or things like that?
Well, we're still working on reaching the families to a certain extent. I will be sending out information on language classes for the fall and things that the community has in place already, but we definitely involve the parents and invite them to any kind of programs that we're doing. There's a lot of connection in terms of communicating our activities with the students.
Sure.
And things like that.
So I'm going to bring you into the conversation now. Introduce yourself to me again.
My name is Diana Bernal, and I'm part of Buenos Vecinos,
okay.
and I'm more of the hands-on person.
Okay. My first question for you is how difficult is it to get a program like this up and running? What kind of trust barriers do you have to overcome? I mean, what kind of questions do people have about the intent of this thing? I mean, was this accepted right away, or did you have to prove that you really have their best interests at heart?
Well, at first it was kind of hard, and also it was, for me, like a new environment, just working with a Latino. Coming into this job, I was really looking forward to, and I still look forward to. At first, I got a little discouraged, but because back at that time, I had a couple of comments of like, oh, these kids aren't going to listen to you and they're not going to pay attention. They're not going to trust you. And I started kind of embedding myself in there. And I mean, now I have good relationship with the students. I feel like I'm in a great position where each student or whoever feels comfortable can come up to me and ask me questions or express if they're feeling bad or something's going on at home or just need help with homework or anything like that. I think it takes time to build good relationship, and we just have to be there for them.
Is there a moment where you felt like you made a breakthrough, even at a personal level, with one or two students? Was there something that, a problem you saw, but you really weren't getting enough access to try and help the person with it, and then something changed? Do you recall that?
Yeah, I recall a story back, like, I think it was about a year ago, where a student was having trouble and problems with school, or even somebody that was failing classes the previous year, and just having conversations and motivational goals and working together. Like, look, I'll do this for you, but like, I'll help you out. But you have to have the willing and the motivation yourself to want to like get out that hole and start making better decisions. And I know that one of those students still struggled, but the other one, she's like, way like, surpassed. She's doing really well in school. So,
do you see that this is kind of contagious too? That the ones students that are getting help, they're starting to do better. That others are seeing that and wanting that.
I think it is, because in the past or at moments, I witnessed moments where students are like, "Oh, I'm doing great." So there could be a little competition, and we also try to make it be a competition, but not too much where they're putting each other down. We like have incentives and prizes, like win a computer at the end of the year. We're gonna give away 2 laptops this year to those students that are doing well in school, but also have great leadership skills and just get along with other students, because grades don't always define who a student is.
So, Charlie, you mentioned Buenos Vecinos has been around about 5 years now. What do you see as changes in our community as a result, and kind of grow off that, and what more is to be done?
Well, what I can see with the youth is that when we first started working with them, they were, like Deanna said, you know, not wanting to pay attention. Each in little groups according to country of origin, not really mixing with each other. And now it's like one big family. They just hang out and kid around and have fun together. And it's not so separate.
Now, it's interesting you brought that up, because we use the word Latino to describe a pretty wide swath of backgrounds and cultures and nationalities and whatnot, and they come here and they become part of that melting pot. It sounds like that was a barrier to overcome, but you've done that by showing them some success, maybe showing them some help that exists.
Yeah, by encouraging them all to do well and having some activities like the soccer. We registered for a soccer league, and they really like that.
Okay.
And for a couple of years, we didn't have...
Football is the grand unifier.
Right.
Yeah.
For a couple of years, we didn't have funds to register them. And as soon as we put it back in place, they were just geeked. Yeah.
Interesting. So you found some commonality that a lot of the kids had an interest in.
Yes.
From your perspective, you know, get it as a personal level, is this... Do you think this is doing good in our community? Do you really feel like this is lifting a portion of our community up that didn't necessarily have these resources before?
I definitely think it's lifting them up. Trying to work with the parents is harder because they, A, don't have any time, and B, are a little bit leery of, you know, new people coming to their home or anything. And so we chose to work with the youth because they're accessible, and then they in turn can tell their parents what's out there, any resources we share with them. So they're sort of, and then they'll be parents down
the
road.
Right.
So,
Buenos Vecinos is a non-government organization, right? This is a separate entity from the county. Do you think that it makes your job easier than going and knocking on a door and saying you're from the county? I mean, to make a very big issue small right now, there seems like there's a lot of contention in our community, especially among the Latino group, because of immigration issues and things like that, that makes them hesitant to interact at all with any kind of government official. Does that make your job easier to say, okay, we're not from the government, we're from a community-facing organization?
Right. We call ourselves a group of community members.
Okay.
And we have been very careful in our wording of our mission and our vision to say we're working within the county, but we're not related to any county government or anything like that.
Is there an official stance in the group on immigration status? Is it just not even a concern? You don't even ask? You don't care, really?
That is the elephant in the room.
Right.
We can't really, we don't have any way to address that. So with the Latino Health Survey, immigration was really the overarching issue over all of the other issues, but we decided to not work on that because we have no way of affecting change on that particular topic, so we went about working on the other topics.
Good. Same thing, kind of thing for you in the schools themselves. Do you see that the kids are more open to this now, that they're more receptive to the idea that help exists and it's a friendly kind of help? And then if you've been doing this for a few years now with this program, are you starting to gain peers and mentors out of this experience that kids are wanting to come back and help other kids?
Definitely, to both questions. there is definitely a lot more trust, and we have there's two ESL teachers there now, or English learner teachers, and the kids know that they can count on us to put them in the right direction, to help them with what they need. We have so many kids who have graduated that did not believe that they would ever graduate. They weren't even planning on coming to school when they got here, but they did, and they have achieved something that they never imagined.
And they could see that this is a real path mm-hmm. forward.
Exactly.
You know, we hear that a lot, and people that we bring in here to talk about is for the first group, you know, it's a lot more difficult. But once people succeed in this path,
yes.
others see, you know what, I'm not limited to the options I thought I had when I was 13. I see there's a whole other way to succeed in life here.
Well, and a number of the kids who graduated this year, for example, they aren't planning on going on to higher education. They may not have the means or whatever barriers are there, but a lot of them will have kids born in this country. And so I, you know, would put that idea to them. You graduated. You are now an example to your children, that next generation. The dropout rate for Latinos across the United States is 50% up to the third generation of Latinos here. And we don't want that in our community. We want them to be able to believe they can achieve, and they totally can.
Same question for you. Are you starting to see the results kind of pay out, that others are coming back and telling people who may be reluctant to come in and use these services or things like that, or just knowing that this wider array of services available is already having an impact?
It's really nice to see students that have graduated come back, because that kind of gets the next like the next generation or the next group of students who will graduate to keep coming back. All the students do come back, if it's to visit Ms. Sermon, if it's to be a part of our soccer team or the picnics. So it's really nice that we're able to reach them in a way where they will come back and then later on inspire somebody else. And like Ms. Sermon said, maybe they don't have the means to keep furthering their education, but they will totally be around, and they will be a help either now or later on along the road.
Char, how is this group funded? Is this a grant-based thing, or is this a donor-based thing, or kind of a mixture? How do you get the money to do the work you do?
Well, we have been funded by the coordinated funders for capacity building.
Okay.
It's a grant for capacity building. And we are looking forward to securing more funding through other sources, because, you know, they can't continue to yeah. fund us forever.
Well, and more money means more programs and more available options.
Right.
So if people wanted to learn more about that and maybe explore that with you, how do we find you, or how do we find this organization?
Well, we have bought a domain name, but we don't have a website
okay.
yet.
Right.
And
you can just give out your home phone number. I'm sure that no one will.
My phone number is totally public.
All right.
So my yeah. email address
yes.
is charo.ladon@gmail.com.
Okay. And you had something on the funding
also
piece.
On the Ypsilanti community website.
Oh, okay.
Under the parent, I think it's the parent and community tab. If you look under English learners, I have a page under there. I don't have the whole name of the site because it's really long. But if there's a whole page that says Jóvenes Tejedores, which is the Spanish for youth weavers. So if you look up Jóvenes Tejedores, my contact information is there.
Great, and we'll make sure to link to. And we'll make sure to provide your email address. We'll provide
Perfect.
The link to that, so that folks. And I'm sure you have other contact. Info too, and in your piece, Sarah. Great. And I have a weird question, and I feel a little overwhelmed here, because I think I'm the only person in the room that only speaks one language. But we tend to think of Spanish as one thing in the U.S., but it is so many different things. How much of a barrier is it? You mentioned people from different nationalities, different backgrounds. Charles, or anybody can answer this. How much is language actually an issue, even when you're just trying to integrate people from different backgrounds and finding different regional dialects or different ways of speaking Spanish?
I think amongst themselves, it's not an issue.
Okay.
They have a lot of fun going, you use what word? That's not what we use, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there's no barrier there, but there's definitely a barrier to their academic achievements if they don't have that support. And so having Diana, she's a whiz in math, which I am not, that has been invaluable this year. And we have another gentleman, Tim Hunter, who works at the high school, and he's fantastic with science. And so being able to support them in their classes in another language is amazing.
And that was so you do that, I'm imagining, by kind of transitioning between two different languages. So if you find terms that they don't have in English, do you just go to Spanish, or how does it even work?
So with me, it's also been like a learning experience, because Yes, I speak Spanish, but I'm so used to speaking the Spanish I speak at home. Like, terms, like mathematical terms that I've never said in Spanish sometimes would become a challenge. But I have been learning new terms as well. But, yeah, totally saying the terms in Spanish is helpful, and how to do math is like a universal language, but they don't look at it that way because to them it's a lot more harder than just adding numbers or stuff like that, or if they're doing trig or algebra or whatnot. But it's been easier as the time goes on, and it's also really nice to see that students are getting it. There are some students that have more troubles than others, or some students that just need to be pushed or have that person next to them because they do get it, but they just don't feel confident.
Well, thank you so much for what your organization has done. This is a great example of reacting to information as it's presented. The county health department put together this survey. There was defined needs, and then all of a sudden this group leapt into being and to meet those needs, and that's exactly what we love hearing about here on what are we doing? On the ground, IPSI. That's what we do here on WDE. I was going to say focus on EMU. We'll edit that part out because this is not focus on EMU. But thank you so much for doing what you do. We appreciate the work you've done. Charles, I'm going to have you switch out with Sarah here real quick and bring Sarah back into the conversation. So what did you take pictures of this week? Or what did Doug more correctly take pictures of?
Well, he went out to the high school and got some shots of the students in action.
Okay. I want to see the soccer team in action. So a little preview. Do you have anything for next week?
Well, I'll just do a tiny teaser, which is that Michigan is really well known for its craft beer industry, but we also make other adult beverages right here in IPSI and IPSI Township. And so I may, if things come together, we'll be doing a story about that.
So adult beverages will be on the menu for next week as part of On the Ground IPSI on WEMU. That's what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for bringing this to us, and thanks for sharing these great stories, and thanks for all your hard work in the community. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
This has been On the Ground IPSI on 89.1 WEMU FM and HD1 Ypsilanti.